Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me tonight for another inspiring episode of There Is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host, and it is always a pleasure to be your guide as I continue to grow professionally and spiritually throughout my journey of rediscovery and empowerment after being laid off. Now, remember that I am not here to point fingers at or to place the blame on my former employers or colleagues, but what I am here to do is to face my own truths while walking in my life's purpose. And along with the support of my contributing co-hosts and special guests who help to guide the conversation, our goal is to then encourage and empower you to explore new and inspiring opportunities to either discover or rediscover and walk in your life's purpose. Now, the goal is that together we will support one another through this journey. So that is why I invite you to join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And you can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And as always, if you wish to contact me directly, you can do so via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And please connect and follow us on social media. You'll find me on Twitter at AllieVord45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio on Twitter at ALR Radio. And I'm also on Instagram at #AllieVord45. And on Pinterest, you'll find me at AllieVord65. And please remember to also like us on Facebook by searching for at There Is Life After Layoff. And Atlanta Life Radio can be found on Facebook by searching at Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR. So on behalf of myself and the entire There Is Life After Layoff radio team, we say thank you for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into issues related to not only the experiences of being laid off, but also related to other life-altering events. And as always, I just have a couple of quick reminders. We always want to let you know that if you happen to miss a particular show, there are several ways that you can catch up on what you've missed, because first of all, you can always access all of our past recorded shows on the automatic player box that is located on the show schedule page on the AtlantaLifeRadio.com website. But then for those of you who are always on the go and out and about, we're also on iTunes, and now we are also available on the mobile app Stitcher, which is a free downloadable app for mobile devices. You'll find us on both iTunes and Stitcher by searching for Atlanta Life Radio, so you have no reason for missing out on all of the great programming that Atlanta Life Radio, WALR, now offers. And so we have such a great appreciation for you for not only tuning into the live broadcast, but also for catching up on what you may have missed. And as always, you know that this is a listener-driven show. We always want to hear from you, our faithful listeners. So with that said, if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation, if you want to make a positive comment, if you want to ask our guest a question, I invite you to call us at 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the host queue. Now, remember that you only have to press the number 1 if you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you want to just listen to the show, there's no need to press the number 1. We will begin taking your calls right after the break at around 7:30, so we certainly do look forward to hearing from you. And before I welcome my special guest tonight, I really wanted to take a moment to pay my respects regarding the loss of yet another great legend. My heart is heavy at the loss of not only one of the greatest athletes that the world has ever known, but also a great man of character and integrity. And so, as you all know, this past weekend we learned about the devastating loss of boxing legend Muhammad Ali, who lost his valiantly fought battle against Parkinson's disease. And so I wanted to say that I am so grateful for having grown up during the time when he was in his prime. So I do remember witnessing the thriller in Manila and the brutal battles with Joe Frazier, which he termed the Rumble in the Jungle, and also the fight of the century at Madison Square Garden. And I also remember when Also, who can forget the antics that he had with legendary sports commentator Howard Cosell? They would go back and forth. And I also remember when he stood up for what he believed in, and then because of that, they stripped him of his title. But guess what? He didn't let that defeat him, and he also made a triumphant comeback, even despite those odds. So my sincere condolences go out to his family, friends, and loved ones. I want to say rest in peace, Muhammad Ali. We love you. We'll miss you. And I'd like to ask for everyone, if you would please join me in a moment of silence in honor of the greatest fighter of all time. Thank you. So now we're going to get started with our great and inspirational program tonight. I was actually introduced to my guest tonight through a very dear friend of the show, so I want to take a moment to shout out and thank you, give a thank you to my prayer warrior sister, Ms. Charmaine Marshall. She's always looking out for me, and I do appreciate that. And so after she made the connection between myself and my guest tonight, and I reached out to her, there was an instant connection. And then after I heard her testimony, when she shared it with me, I knew immediately why God allowed our paths to cross. And so, you know, her journey is a powerful and inspiring story of triumph despite facing a series of debilitating, life-altering events. And so it is at this time that it is my pleasure to welcome to There Is Life After Layoff Radio professional makeup artist, licensed esthetician, entrepreneur, evangelist, and so much more, Ms. De'Asia Monet Stone. I want to say welcome, De'Asia, and thank you for joining me this evening.
Hi, thank you, Allie. It's a pleasure for having me.
Thank you. So, you know, I'm so excited and honored to have you joining me tonight to share your journey and testimony of how you have come full circle in your life and the lessons and the blessings that you received along the way. But as always, before we get started, please take a moment to just introduce yourself and help us get to know who De'Asia is.
Okay, well, I am De'Asia Monet Stone. I am a professional makeup artist. I've been doing makeup for about 24 years now. I'm actually a self-taught makeup artist. I've been doing makeup since I was about 15.
Oh, wow.
So I chose to go to skincare school, and I obtained my license in aesthetics. So I'm also now a licensed makeup artist. I mean, a licensed esthetician, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And then I answered my call to ministry. So I do a little bit of everything from ministry. And in answering my call to ministry, God actually married makeup and ministry for me. So now I have discovered my life's purpose for helping women to love themselves, teaching them beauty from the inside out, which is pretty much starting with, you know, being yourself, be you, love you is my tagline,
right,
to just teach them, you know, how to be confident, to give them self-love, to teach them to be bold and happy in who they are,
mm-hmm,
you know, and to teach them and to guide them and to empower them into discovering who they are so they can now walk in their life's purpose.
Wow, that's awesome, you know. And so, as you know, cause when we first connected, I kind of shared with you my testimony and how I got started with There Is Life After Layoff
mm-hmm,
as a result of my unexpected layoff and my personal experience through, you know, the experience of getting laid off. And so, you know, that resulted in my divinely being inspired to
mm-hmm,
create the blog and all of the where we're at now, you know, led to the radio show. So I want to always ask my guests, because this is where my journey of fulfilling my purpose began, I always want to ask, you know, my guess, have you ever been negatively impacted by a layoff? And if so, can you explain the circumstances behind that?
Yes. My journey actually started probably back in 2008. Mm. Between 2008 and 2009, I actually did suffer a layoff, and that's what actually inspired me to become to start freelancing. But I was laid off from a corporate company that I was working for. I was an administrative assistant, and then makeup was always a thing that I did on the side,
okay,
for extra money before I decided to turn it into a career. Mm-hmm. But when I got laid off due to me becoming ill. So I had just gotten an actual position and had just gotten hired, and I was diagnosed with I have a condition called Crohn's disease.
Mm.
And so I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease at the tender age of 19.
Oh, wow.
And I had my first surgery at 24, and then I went into remission for about 12 years. And then it came back. And because I was uneducated on the condition, I didn't know that it could, you know, come back. So when it came back around 2010, I had my second surgery, and the recovery was so long, they couldn't hold my job.
Oh, goodness.
So due to that, it led to a lot of life-altering changes, such as, you know, not being able to pay my bills and, you know, different things of that nature. So that affected me a lot, because when you're in a position where you're so used to working and then you get to a place where you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my life-altering experience to what led to my layoff. And so after that, with me being ill, it was just really hard for me to find another job.
Right. So, you know, there are always some emotional challenges that, follow getting laid off. I went through the same thing. So what were your emotional challenges? What was the emotional impact as a result of your layoff, and how were you able to deal with those negative feelings?
Well, I guess the first emotion that comes up when something like this happens is, you know, how am I going to pay my bills, or what am I going to do? That's the initial first reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So once panic and worry settles in, or it passes, because you deal with that for a little while.
Yeah.
You go into panic mode. You go into worry. You become a worry wart. And so after all of that surpassed, I was able to deal with the negative feelings by just being able to honestly, just after a lot of prayer and soul searching, I just made a decision to embrace the process. Because one of the things that God spoke to me through a lot of prayer and quiet time, God said, live in your truth. And it took me a minute to understand that. But when God said, live in your truth, well, at the moment, my truth was, I'm unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have no money.
Right.
That was my truth. So once I was able to embrace the process and just let God move and do whatever it is he needed to do, then, you know, everything else, as far as my feelings about everything, it just kind of got quiet, and I was able to just live in the moment. So it was pretty much, okay, God, you take the wheel, whatever it is that you're going to do.
Right.
I just have to, you know, whatever happens from here on out, I just have to trust you and follow you, and that's pretty much what I did.
Right. That's similar to my story, where I decided to rest in his peace, because he spoke to me in that moment, peace be still, I got you. I had trust that he had me, and I didn't need to help him. So I've been standing on his promises from that day, you know, till now and beyond, and that's what's gotten me through. So what was the one defining moment when you made the decision to take a leap of faith and then really start working for yourself as a freelancer?
It was after the last layoff, because prior to that, I had already suffered probably three layoffs prior to that.
Oh, my goodness.
Within maybe an 18-month to two-year span. Wow. Even though I would get laid off and I would find another job, and then something else would happen, and then I would get laid off and I would find another. So it was never a problem with me finding another job when that happened. I was always able to bounce back.
Right.
But with this last time, it was like you just get to a point to where you're like, you know what? There's so much more to me than to continue to keep going through this.
Yeah.
And again, when you know God is the head of your life and you begin to soul search and you know that you want more and you expect more for yourself, the one thing that I knew, I was like, I have a gift and I'm not really using my gift. And makeup artistry is something I've always wanted to do. So I just pretty much got to a point when you get fed up, I was like, you know what, God, I'm going to start freelance, and this is what I want to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but this is what I desire to do, because I refuse to go work for anybody else. And even though I was saying that to myself, part of me was saying it, but I really wasn't, like, all the way there in believing what I was saying. So then God will come and test you on your word. And so I would still be looking for a job, and God closed every door. So I closed every door. I'm still applying for jobs, and I wasn't getting them, and I never had a problem with getting a job. But God made sure that I stood on what I petitioned before him, because he knew with me, we always have that security blanket and knowing that you have a paycheck coming in, even if whatever you're doing to start your business, if you don't make any money from this, you know you still have a paycheck coming in.
Right.
Well, God made it to where everything I had to do, I had to trust myself, but most importantly, I had to trust him. And so once I decided to do that and say, okay, I'm going to jump into this wholeheartedly, things just begin to move. Like, literally, it's like God just opened up the floodgates, and I got my first job working in a makeup, working in a hair salon as a freelancer, and then I started getting invited to do photo shoots and hair shows.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then once I began to taste the freedom in what I was doing, I instantly fell in love and was like, okay, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I was so happy. Yeah, I was happy in that. And I had a joy. You know what people say? If you can find something that you love to do, you'll never work another day in your life. And you don't look at it as work. Yeah, you don't look at it as work because you're doing what you love.
Yes.
And making women beautiful is what I love to do. So I never looked at it as a job. And so I just, you know, I fell in love with it. And I knew then, okay, nope, not going back to work ever again for anybody except myself.
I know that's right. I know that's right. Now, I know there have been some challenges. So would you think that the biggest challenge may have been you and your hesitancy into, you know, maybe taking that leap of faith?
Yes, and even though I was saying I wanted it, my confidence wasn't always there. Like, I would still second-guess myself. I wasn't completely, fully trusting that I could do it. I would still go back and have, like, little conversations like, okay, can I really do this? And luckily, I would question myself so much and overthink things.
Yeah.
So the hesitancy was there, but my confidence began to reveal itself or to grow when God sent other people to push me. And they saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. So they were like, you can do this. Your work is amazing. You know, this is what you need to be doing to make yourself more marketable.
Yeah.
So my biggest challenge was that. But then marketing myself, because once you start to freelance yourself as a makeup artist, the biggest thing a makeup artist has to do is market.
Yeah.
And so I had to learn how to market myself because I didn't know how to do that.
Okay.
So that made me work and study and research and do things a little bit more as to what really requires a freelancer to be successful.
Okay.
So, you know, that kind of makes you dig a little deeper. It makes you hustle a little harder because you don't have anything coming in, so you have to be self-motivated, and that's what it did. It made me be self-motivated to, you know, network more, reach out to other photographers and different people, pass my card. And so the biggest challenge once I got past the confidence thing was the whole marketing to start building a clientele.
And that's you know, I can relate to everything that you said because there are times when I question my capabilities and my gifts, and then, you know, I always say, you know, I'll say to myself, well, am I, you know, do I have anything worth, you know, saying?
Exactly.
Does anybody want to hear what I have to say?
Yeah.
And then God will send me somebody and will confirm, you're doing what I told you to do. Yes, you are.
Exactly.
You have something worth, you know, sharing with
other
people.
Exactly.
And so we have to learn how to just get out of our own way sometimes, right?
Exactly. And that's what I had to do because I struggled with that for so long. As many people God would send my way, as many people that I serviced and that was saying, you are amazing, you're great, and they would send me text messages and thank you notes, I still could not see my greatness. I still couldn't see it. And then one day I had to pray and say, God, what is it that they see that I can't see? And I began to ask God, let me see what they see.
Right.
Because when you're looking to remain humble, you just try to stay in that place. But, you know, God will do things to allow you to see your greatness. There's nothing wrong with you seeing your greatness. And there's nothing arrogant about it.
Exactly.
So when you can see your greatness and see, you know, your worth and how amazing you are without the arrogancy getting in the way, then you're good. And so once I was able to get to that place to know, oh, I'm great. I'm amazing. I'm an amazing makeup artist
I know that's
without
right.
Yeah, because you have to say that to yourself sometimes.
Right,
and once
exactly.
I was able to get to that place, then I was good, and then my confidence just went through the roof, and then I was fine.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Now, when you and I spoke, you shared something with me that you described as the time when God pulled the rug out from under you. So and it was very powerful. So share that with me right now and with our listeners.
Oh, well, the time when God pulled the rug under for me was about 2 years ago when I became completely home. My son and I became completely homeless.
Oh, wow.
And I went from having a place to stay to living in a hotel, from living in a hotel to living in a women's shelter for women and children. And I lived in a women's shelter for about 6 months. And when that first happened, at first I was, like, devastated. Maybe the first 4 or 5 days I cried. My first 4 or 5 days I cried. I couldn't understand why was this happening to me. You know, God, you know, why am I in this place?
Mm-hmm.
But I would have to say that is the most amazing and beautiful thing that could have ever happened to me.
Really?
Because when you get to a place where you don't understand what's going on with you, but God understands because he has a plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that plan causes for you to suffer a little bit. And there are so many things that comes in your suffering because there may be things that are in you that God is trying to get out of you. There are some things that's going on that God is trying to burn off. And so when I realized that, you know, gold is purified in fire.
Yes, right, right.
So
right,
when
right.
you are able to go through the fire and you come out pure as gold, there's no greater or better feeling than that.
Yes.
So to know that whatever was going on with me at that time, I understood God is making me. He's molding
you. That's right.
You know, he's
that's
creating
right.
what he wants me to be, not what De'Asia wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I began to, again with that, I embraced that process. And I said, okay, well, if I'm in this women's shelter, this is just a situation. It doesn't define who you are. It doesn't
exactly.
take away from who you are. And God's still blessed. I was still allowed to do makeup. I was still allowed to go travel and still do photo shoots and still work and make money. It was just a place that housed me for a little while.
Yeah.
And then God began to use me to minister to people in the shelter and to help them. And because I just totally embraced the process, and I know that I did it with such grace, and I kept a smile on my face, and I found my happy medium in doing that.
Yes.
God,
that is so powerful.
God couldn't do anything but move for me, and he did just that. Like, doors literally began to open for me in the process of me being homeless.
That is so powerful on so many levels because I really feel that in certain circumstances, whether they be negative or whatever, you know, that God is watching and testing and making, he wants to see how we react in certain situations.
Exactly.
And I feel like as a result of how we choose to act will make or break the opportunities or the doors that he is willing to open for us.
Exactly.
I seriously believe that. That he wants to see, you know, how we are going to react and, you know, so that he can see whether or not we can handle what he's about to elevate us to the next level.
Absolutely, absolutely. And your attitude in anything that you go through, in any test and trial, I realize that your attitude determines how fast you come out of it. Your attitude determines what happens to you while you're in it.
Yeah.
So I just learned, I remember just coming up with this little thing. I said, okay, God, no more stinking thinking. So I got to a place right there. I was like, I'm not going to think negative about this anymore. If you're doing this, I may not understand what you're doing, but you
right.
know what you're doing. So all I can do is trust
right.
you.
That's right.
And from that moment when I prayed that prayer, God began to move. And once again, yeah. I got out of my own way because God began to show me in this, when we tell God we want things and we automatically think that, you know, whatever greatness God or whatever your destiny is, it's not going to come to you, you know, easy. You know, you're going to go
right.
through some things before you reach that place.
The test.
So
For the testimony.
The test before the testimony. So when God began to let me know, you know what, you can pray the prayer, but I never tell you how I'm going to answer the prayer.
That's right.
So a lot of times you can tell God, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want my own business. I want to own my own restaurant. I want to be great. I want to be an actress. But you best believe you're going to go through some things.
Yes.
Because God's going to test you to see how bad do you want it, if you're going to be willing to endure some things to get it. Because, again, once you get the blessing, now you got to work extra hard to keep the blessing.
And are you going to have the character to sustain yourself there?
Exactly. So that's where the making and the building process comes in. And so I realized through that process of being homeless, God was taking me through all different types of tests. My character was being built. Integrity was being tested. God was teaching me how to walk in love. I still had a little bitterness inside of me with some things. Like, I had to do some work. So there were some things in me that wasn't quite nice. I was still walking in unforgiveness. I had to get that out of me. You know, I had to get resentment out of me. I still had issues, unresolved issues dealing with my father that I had to get out of me. You know, so it was a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, it was a whole bunch. It was a lot.
Well,
but
you know,
the work was so great.
Yeah, I found that, you know, throughout this, my journey, I made a decision at one point that I needed to start looking at myself in the mirror and not blame those around me, you know, for whatever circumstance I was feeling. And
exactly.
Just like you, he was sifting me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but I had to take responsibility for the choices that I had made and where I was at. You know,
absolutely.
We oftentimes want to blame other people for and say, you know, and I know you've heard plenty of people say, oh, you make me sick. God said you make yourself sick because you choose to harbor that bitterness. You choose to harbor that anger. You choose to be unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Being happy is a choice that you have to make every day.
That is so true. That is so true.
And I have grown so much during this journey because I have been willing to step on my own toes and be very transparent and say, hey, I'm not perfect, but God, do what you need to do. You know the plan that you have. Just like I stand on Jeremiah 29:11. You know the plan that you have. Do what you need to do.
Amen.
And getting
me
there.
That is so true. That is so true. And you have to be willing to want it. When you know you have things inside of you that is hindering you from getting to the place that God wants you to be. So you have to be willing to make a choice.
Yeah.
To let that stuff go and to get rid of it. And that's a vow that I made to myself. I was like, you know what? I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to face it head on because, you know, I don't want the next chapter of my life to be repetitive where, you know, I'm moving from one place to another and you're still carrying this stuff. Because you get to a point where you have to ask yourself, aren't you tired? You know, this load is heavy to carry, like, really? And then you think about all the blessings that are being held up that God is not going to release and give to you until he sees that you've gotten, you know, where you need to be and you have to be prepared and ready. But that takes some work inside as well as outside.
That's right. You're absolutely right. You know, we block our own blessings most of the time.
We really do.
You know, it's you've got to do some soul searching. And, you know, I had gotten to a point where I was tired of being sick and tired, and I had to figure out why. But I took responsibility and realized, okay, I was sick and tired because of my own bad behavior, my own choices. And so, you know, I made a decision at that point. God, something's got to change, and it had to start with me. Let's just say that, you know. But you know what, Deasia, at this time, I think we're close to 7:30, so we're going to wind down and pause and take a short station break, so just hang in there with me. And when we return, we'll continue with this powerful conversation, and I believe that, you know, we may have a call or two. And so, you know, just hang in there with me. I'm Allie, your host, and I'm honored to be joined by my special guest, professional makeup artist and esthetician, entrepreneur, and evangelist, Deasia Monet Stone. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio, so please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too.
executive producer Mel D. And on behalf of the Atlanta Life Radio team, we thank all of our faithful listeners. If this is your first time tuning in, we thank you. Share us with your friends, like us on Facebook, and please come back. A special thank you to all of our financial sponsors, because without their financial support, this show would not be made possible. If you are interested in becoming a financial sponsor or want to learn how to advertise with us, please send an email complete with your contact information to info@AtlantaLifeRadio.com. Again, please send us an email complete with your contact information to info@AtlantaLifeRadio.com. And now we return back to our program.
All right, we're back, and if you're just joining us, welcome, and you're listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.AtlantaLifeRadio.com. I'm your host, Allie, and we encourage you to join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m., and you can also follow me on my blog at www.TheirIsLifeAfterLayoff.com. And if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation, it's not too late. You can reach us by calling 347-324-5246, and make sure that you press the number one to be added into our on-air host queue. So before we continue our conversation with my special guest, Ms. Deasia Monet, we are going to the phone lines. I believe that we have a caller. Hello, you are on the air with Allie and my guest, Deasia Monet. What is your question or comment? Hello? Well, I guess they must have hung up, Deasia.
Okay.
We're just going to keep on. We keep the flow going.
Okay.
And before the break, we were talking about how your experience with God pulling the rug out from under you and what you learned through that process. And so do you feel that there was a reason for you going through that experience? And what lessons did you walk away from that with?
Yes, I do believe I've learned several lessons because as we were stating before, prior to going through that, I didn't always make the best choices, and I made terrible mistakes, and I wasn't always like really good with my money and different things of that nature. So I realized that there were some things that God had to do to humble me. And there were some things in me that wasn't really good, and it allowed me, going through that process, it allowed me to look at me, like really get to a place where you have to say, okay, God, show me me. And
right.
So in that process, that started my journey with, God showing you you're good, you're bad, and you're ugly. And then he'll get to a place when you know you have a lot of ugly that's not good. And if that's the thing, the things you want God to change.
Mm-hmm.
So I began to get to a place where I had to not only be real with God, but be real with myself. And I began to start asking God through going through some of these different processes, okay, Lord, what is it that I'm supposed to be learning from this?
Yeah.
And the biggest lesson that I learned through a lot was that God had to teach me, no one's going to take care of you better than you. So I had to learn, responsibility. I had to learn ownership. I had to learn accountability because I wasn't always that person. I wasn't always transparent, So there were so many different things that he taught me.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you're going to be this person, you cannot be this person. You can't be great. You can't be amazing. You can't serve me the way you need to serve me and take care of my people and serve my people, and you still got mess inside of you. And so through my journey of dealing with those things, God basically just taught me, you have to learn to take care of yourself. You have to learn to take responsibility for your actions. You have to learn to take accountability. And there were some things I needed to change because I was a person, I was very impulsive. I acted on emotions a lot, so I had to kind of just step back, and God just took me on like this little journey of like self-discovery. So I didn't date. I didn't like go out. I didn't really do anything. I really wanted to just stay in a place where it was just me and God, and I needed to know who Deasia was.
Right.
So I went through a 5-year journey of learning me, I went through a 5-year journey of learning me and dealing with my issues because I really had so much stuff in me, and I didn't want to be that person anymore. You know, I didn't like what I saw when I looked in the mirror. And so I went through a journey of self-discovery pretty much, and it ended up, even though it took me through some hardship, but I wouldn't change those hardships for nothing in the world because they have taught me so much, and I wouldn't be who I am, and I wouldn't have the wisdom that I have, and I wouldn't have a greater appreciation for things had I not gone through my hardships.
Wow.
So I don't regret them at all. I don't regret any of them at all. I don't.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think Mel D has informed me that I'll call him maybe back. If your number ends in 8616, you're on with Allie and Deja Monet. Did you want to make a comment or ask a question? Hello, caller? If your number ends in 8616, if you want to make a comment or ask a question, you're on the air. Uh-oh. Somebody keeps getting shy on us. That's okay. That's okay. They're listening. But anyway, we're going to continue. What did God, though, what did he reveal to you as your purpose throughout this experience, and especially, you know, during the time that you're homeless? You said you went through a 5-year journey. So then through that time, what did he reveal to you as your purpose?
He revealed to me my purpose. I've known since I was 24 years old that I had a calling in my life to work in ministry and that I was called to preach. And I was running. I was running. I didn't want to work in ministry. I didn't think that I was strong enough to do it. I didn't think that I, you know, had the capacity to do it. I just didn't think I was cut out for it. But in the journey in my 2 years or the 6 months that I spent being homeless, and in that revealing process in the shelter, God revealed to me that that there was a women's ministry inside of me, and he said, how are you going to help someone else if you don't go through it? So being in that shelter allowed me to smile because I knew that you can't help someone if you have not gone through something.
Yes.
So how can you tell
yes.
someone God is a healer if he hasn't healed you from anything?
Very
how can
true.
You tell someone that, you know, God will make a way if he hasn't made a way for you? You can't encourage somebody about the goodness of God and his power and what he has done if they usually don't see or hear what he's done in your life. So when he let me know that, like, you have to go through this. Because at the end of the day, I learned, you know what, Deasia, it's not about you. It's about somebody else. And most of the time, we don't go through what we go through for ourselves. We go through what we go through for somebody else.
For somebody else. I feel the same way. How could I sit here and tell somebody about, you know, the experience of a layoff if I didn't experience it myself?
Exactly.
You know, it wouldn't hold any weight with anybody because then they would ask, well, have you been laid off? And then I say no, and they're like, well, how are you telling me?
Exactly, yeah. You don't know how I feel. You can't relate. That's the first thing they're going to say. Well, if you don't know what it feels like to be hungry and homeless, how are you going to help another person that's been hungry or that is hungry and homeless? So to know that that was the masses, you know, those are the women that you know, God wants me to reach. So in discovering my purpose, God let me know he wanted me to go after the women who have gone through some of the things, or get to go back and reach for the remnant of women who are just like you, who have not always felt loved, who's dealt with low self-esteem, low self-confidence, who didn't always think that they were pretty. You know, they had esteem issues, and they had issues with, you know, picking on, they think that their nose is too big or their ears are too big or they don't like their lips or whatever the case may be. So in that discovery is when I answer my call to ministry. And then God revealed, you know, make up for you, because my passion for it has always been so strong. But when he began to fuse the two together and let me know, It is your purpose, yes, to make women beautiful, but it is to make them beautiful from the inside out. It's to teach them how the beauty that they have on the inside. So what's on the inside of them now lights up, and what's on the inside matches the outside, and it allows them to see themselves in a way that they've never seen themselves before. So that's my passion and my love for makeup.
Right.
So now he just fused ministry with it to give it a higher calling and to give it a greater purpose and a greater meaning. And that's the joy that I have in it now that I've discovered that. I love it so much.
He had to show you that he could fuse that together. He could put, you know, the two together, and you could do what you love, but what he was also calling you to do.
Exactly.
And so from that, I want you to share about your wonderful ministry that you have termed Formula Chic. Tell us about that. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm so excited about this. Formula Chic is my women's ministry that I'm about to launch. And Chic is actually an acronym for cultivating her inner confidence.
Oh, that's awesome. I love
because
that.
Because at the root of my ministry, I have a goal and a purpose, and I aspire to teach women confidence, boldness, self-love, and individuality. I want women to walk away strong in knowing who they are, and most importantly, to see themselves and to love themselves the way that God sees them, because that's what he did for me.
I love that. Cultivating her inner confidence.
Inner confidence, yes.
Oh, that's so perfect for you. That is awesome. See, God is a genius.
He's amazing, isn't he?
He's a marketing genius.
He is. He really is.
Who could come up with that but God, right?
Only God. And to see, and then when he gives you the meanings, because when I heard formula, I was like, formula? But then he said, you know, you're a makeup artist. You're an esthetician. As an art and makeup artist, we mix things. We mix foundations and lipsticks and lip glosses, and we make colors and create colors, and then at the same time as an esthetician, we do the same thing when we come up with facial scrubs and body scrubs and masks and different things. Genius. And so everything is a formula. Everything's a formula.
That is awesome. I love that. I am so excited and can't wait to be a part of that ministry with you.
Thank you so much.
And, you know, any way I could help get the word out or whatever you need, I would love to be a part of that. So I'm excited. So, but what you know, you talked about some of the storms that you've gone through. What lessons did some of these storms teach you?
My goodness. A lot of these lessons taught me transparency. They taught me accountability. The probably the most important one is accountability. But I also learned through a lot is to just walk in love, because God is love, and God's word says, through love and kindness have I drawn thee. So I knew you can't do ministry. You can't truly do ministry and you don't have love, like real love, and learning what an agape love is. And so I had to learn that, because I wasn't always there. I wasn't always there. So I had to learn. I desired to be real. And so transparency and love and accountability and individuality, you know, be you no matter what. People will love you more and respect you more when you are just being yourself. Don't try to be anything else. Don't try to fit in, you know. And I struggled with that a lot. I struggled with that a lot because I was a people's pleaser. But when you can get to a place to where it doesn't matter what other people think, it only matters what you think and what God thinks, that's it. Everything else is null and void.
I'd have to say that I piggyback on what you said. Facing your truth and your willingness to be transparent has been something that I've learned. But I also, one big lesson that I learned was being right is highly overrated. Because I had this thing where I felt like I needed to be right about everything, and then God revealed to me, but then what have you gained by being right?
Nothing.
You know, if you've stood there and you've argued somebody down and you don't have peace in your life, what have you gained from that? So I learned that hard lesson that being right is highly overrated. And so I love my family, I love my husband, I love my kids, or, you know, I love doing what God wants me to do more than I need to
exactly.
be right.
Exactly, exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
A lot of people, you know, have that thing where in them, oh, I'm right. He was like, mm-mm, but that's not peace. That's not peace.
Not at all. Not at all.
So I had to learn that the hard way. And Lord knows, the people who've known me all my life know that that was a hard lesson for me to learn. I'm stepping on my own toes right now. So why do you feel like it's important for people to go through life with their eyes wide open?
I think going through life with your eyes wide open, which that is that's one of the things that God began, that he gave me as a strong title that's pretty much been like my life now moving forward, is because you don't want to ever be in a place where you're numb to certain things, that people take advantage of you, that you have no self-awareness, or your awareness of your surroundings. So that'll allow things, you to get caught up in things that you really don't want to, or things can slip up on you, and because you're not paying attention, you know, now you're into something that you end up waking up one day asking the question, how did I get here? Because you're not aware. So eyes wide open for me has been so much because God literally took the blinders off, and that's been the biggest thing for my life is when God took the blinders off, and he didn't allow me to be manipulated and used and abused and taken advantage of, and, you know, all of those things. So now I'm more self-aware of who De'Asia is. I'm comfortable in my skin and who I am. I now have a voice, and so Eyes Wide Open gives you a voice when people are telling you what you can't do, or they don't think it's right, or whatever vision God has given you doesn't make sense. You'll have those naysayers and little people in your ear, you know, speaking against you and talking against you. But when your eyes are wide open and all you see is what God has given you and the vision that he puts before you and what he places in your heart, then it allows all of the noise in the background to just fade away, because now you have tunnel vision, because you're only paying attention and looking and keeping your eye on the prize, which is God and Jesus Christ, and so nothing else matters. So that's what Eyes Wide Open for me is. It's just look ahead and pay attention.
Right. That's so true, everything what you said. And I think in that, I would add that sometimes people mistake meekness for weakness.
Exactly.
And to me, I've learned that meekness is strength under control.
Yes.
And so I don't have to be, you know, this over-the-top, you know, belligerent person, but at the same time, like you said, have my eyes wide open, but at the same time have a humble spirit.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, you know,
because you do have to pay attention, you know, when, you know, snakes, you know, when people are surrounding you and you can't always see right then that they're a snake, you know, you don't want to get bit. You know, you want to be able to recognize and to discern, you know what, I don't need you in my circle or my personal space. You're no good. You got to get, so when your eyes are open, you can pay attention to stuff like that.
Right, and that's one thing that God has also taught me, is that he'll bring people into my life or allow people into my life for a reason and a season, but then he's given me the discernment to figure out when I need to set boundaries and when a person's season is up.
Absolutely.
Because not everybody who gets on the first stop with you is destined to get off on the last stop with you.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
Somebody may get off before, you know, and very few people will begin and end and stop the trip.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what advice would you give someone who may be struggling after having faced a life-altering event, such as a layoff or a health crisis?
Okay. The biggest advice I would give someone is to know that your situation does not define who you are. Your situation
good.
Is simply what it is. It's a situation.
Right.
And you can overcome any situation and still stay true to who you are as a person.
Right. That's good.
You don't have to allow that to take away from anything that you have built inside of yourself to make yourself great, to make yourself amazing, to make yourself lovable. All of the things that God has placed inside of you that have made you the amazing, wonderful person that you are, because you are faced with a situation, even an illness, even something as an illness, you can overcome that simply by letting the illness know, I have this illness, but you do not have me. And so that was the one thing that I had to tell Crohn's. I have Crohn's disease, but Crohn's disease does not have me. And I've been able to beat Crohn's due to my faith and my trust in God. And there were times I couldn't afford my medication, and I didn't have medical insurance. And so the power of God in that built my faith more. Because at one point, medication I had was almost $1,000 per prescription. I couldn't afford that.
Oh, wow.
So I went through the Bible, and I wrote down healing scriptures, and I read those healing scriptures every day. And then I got to a point I didn't need medication anymore. And then I was in remission, and I haven't had a hospital visit or a flare-up or anything.
So that's
the most amazing thing that I would want anybody to know that's listening, is that whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, that situation does not define who you are.
Amen. Thank you for that. That's great advice. Now, you know what? The good stuff. I want you to tell us about your plan for opening up your own makeup studio and spa. Share with us about that.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And hopefully I'm pushing for August, Lord willing.
Yes,
but
amen.
I'm in the process of getting everything together to open and launch D'Asia Monet Makeup and Spa. And it is actually, yes, going to be a makeup studio, and it's also going to be a spa where women can come and get facials and waxes and get their brows done and get eyelash extensions and just anything they need to do to get pampered, get a bikini wax, leg wax, you know, all of the good stuff. You know, I wanted to design for it to be like a sanctuary. When people walk in, when women walk in, I want them to be able to feel peace and tranquility. You know, I want them to just, you know, for that hour or two, just leave all your cares at the door.
That's right. It's only
about you, and you get pampered, and, you know, you can just lie and just float into whatever it is that you need to float in for that moment. So I also want it to be a place where I get to also educate women and to let them know about skincare and how important skincare is, because we can all get great makeup done.
Right.
But if your skin is not healthy and if your skin is not intact, then that doesn't really make your makeup look as flawless and as beautiful as it can.
Right.
So there are also health benefits to going to the spa. So I want to be able to educate them and let them know that the beauty part of going to the spa is just one part, but there's a lot of health benefits, and you can actually prolong your life, believe it or not, from going to the spa to get a facial or to get a back facial. Any type of waxing, it promotes good blood circulation and different things of that nature. So there are plenty of health benefits. You know, when you get a lymphatic drainage and different things of that nature, chemical peels, yeah, there's a lot of amazing things that the spa can do for you that can actually prolong your life, believe it or not.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, and, you know, I'll make the trip to Birmingham.
Of course.
to check that out, and I'm always good for a good spa day, you know. We all need it. Pamper ourselves. So how can I understand that you're still doing freelance makeup artistry. So how can we contact you for services if we're interested in doing that?
Okay. Well, right now, anyone interested in booking with me can book with me by sending me an email to my email address, which is deasiamonet.mua@gmail.com. They can also find me on Facebook, which is, of course, my Facebook name is my name, D'Asia Monet. My Instagram is also my name, Deasia Monet, and I will be launching my website in July, which is also going to be www.deasiamonet.com.
All right, and people, I want to let you know, the spelling of her name is D-A-I-S-A.
Correct.
So
yes.
It's not
yes.
the traditional Asia.
Not the traditional
that you
way, exactly.
So we need to make them understand
is.
That.
That is true. So, yeah, to reiterate what Allie just said, it is my spelling of my name is actually D. So if you're looking for me on Facebook, it's going to be D apostrophe capital A-I-S-A Monet.
Right. Exactly. There you go. So we want to make sure everybody finds you. So you know
exactly.
what? Thank you so much for joining me this evening. And I'm so grateful for your transparency and your willingness to share your triumphs in the face of all the difficult circumstances that you have faced. And thank you for sharing that with us. And because I know somebody listening out there needed to hear what you had to share this evening. So thank you so much.
Well,
and I look
thank
forward
you so
to...
much for having me.
Yes,
and I hate
absolutely.
Whoever the callers were trying to call. They couldn't get through or they got shy on us and didn't want to talk. But it's okay.
That's okay. We shared enough for them to. They
we did,
probably
we
got
did.
Into the conversation. They just wanted to hear what we had to say. So thank you once again. You know, so when you get ready to open up the spa, you're welcome to come back on air and talk about that and give us
I
all
sure
the
will.
Details and
I sure
you know
will.
The logistics about that. So thank you once again. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you so much again for having me, and it was such a pleasure.
Thank you. So tonight, you know what, I'm always, as I always am accustomed to doing, I want to take a moment to relate our show to Scripture. And when I think about what Deasia's journey was all about, I think of perseverance. And so this led me to want to share Scripture with you from James 1, verses 2 through 4, and then verse 12, which reads, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast or perseveres under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." So, you know, what is perseverance? Perseverance means to continue a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. And so this scripture teaches us that we need to rejoice in the midst of difficult situations, because we know that through them God tests our faith in order to bring out patience. And so not only do we have to endure trials of various kinds, but we must also count it all joy, and the one who perseveres knows that the testing of their faith produces steadfastness. And so, just like she mentioned, just as metal is tested by fire and withstands the test, will receive, tested by fire and become stronger, so too is our faith tested, and it is made stronger from that testing. And so, God did not create us for failure. We may fail at some things on our way to success, but if we trust him, he will take our errors and work them out for our good. So God will take our mistakes or failures and turn them into miracles. We just have to trust him. And so on behalf of There Is Life After Layoff, the entire radio team, we say thank you to each and every one of you for joining us on this journey. We don't take it for granted that you have chosen to spend this time with us. And until next time, on behalf of Mel D, myself, and the entire There Is Life After Layoff radio team, we say thank you for joining us. And we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. tell yourself, no, in you, Lord, I have my faith in. Even when it seems, that's when you look, that's when your breakthrough will begin.
Testimony,
God, can you?